life's run down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thank you for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 78 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is February the 2nd, 2013, and joining us today is nobody.
Nobody's a regular guest.
Yes, he's back again.
He keeps quiet, but...
He used to be on a lot of the early episodes, and then we didn't see him so much.
How are you doing today, Brian?
Not too bad, not too bad. I'm on a second mouse of the day, because the one I started with in the morning, I killed by dropping it and then stepping on it.
Oh, so no mouse traps involved or anything like that?
No. So I had to go out and get another one. So it's a good job I said to do the podcast at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah. And it gave me time to, well, survive a hangover that's still rattling on my head at the minute, so.
Yes, this is the much talked about episode where I'm going to make Anthony watch magical girl shows.
Which is something I hate.
It's, we did a similar thing with, 1970s dynamic productions shows way back when. I'll, put a link to it in the episode notes because I can't remember which episode it was. Mm-hmm. Where we watched the first episode of probably, in retrospect, too many shows. Particularly too many shows which were awfully similar.
They might as well have been the same.
There was a couple of live action ones thrown in as well.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But if you want to listen to that and hear Anthony lose the will to live as it goes along.
Oh god.
But this time I decided, as I was just going to say we, there was no we about it.
No.
It was me deciding and inflicting them on Anthony. After Anthony constantly complaining that he didn't want to watch anything girly.
Mm-hmm. And I don't like girly things.
So I decided, let's make him watch magical girl shows. And I picked 6 different shows to watch the first episode of. Each one from a different decade.
So we went backwards.
We went backwards. That was a suggestion from, I can't remember, the guy's Twitter, SD Shamel, the guy who runs, and then I can't pronounce his blog either.
Oh,
it's the Genshiken themed blog.
Mm.
But he suggested doing it in reverse order.
And I'm pleased you did.
Oh, good.
I don't know why I'm pleased, but somehow it works and it makes sense. I don't know, but it worked.
So we've got a show from the 60s, a show from the 70s, a show from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and one from 2 years ago.
Good bunch.
But first of all, let's do our regular features, the UK anime releases for this week. There are 2, one of which I'm pleased I checked the schedules because I kind of knew it was coming out, wasn't expecting it to come out this quickly, and it replaced something which had slipped. Coming out from MVM is Bodacious Space Pirates Part 1.
Did watch the first 2 episodes of this, I'm sure I did on Crunchyroll, and it was pretty good.
And it's still on Crunchyroll. Oh, same here, I watched the 2, and then for some reason I didn't keep it up. Possibly it's just one of those time-related things I often run into.
And it was decent as well. It's not bad.
It's pretty good. And it is currently, as we record, you can pre-order it on Sainsbury's website for £15.99.
That's really cheap. And that's for the first half of the series.
It is, yeah.
Mm.
I think it's £17.99 on Amazon.
Go to Sainsbury's.
And the second thing is something I have on pre-order with Amazon already. In fact, I ordered it last year. And that is Tiger and Bunny Part 1 Double Play. So you get the Blu-ray, the DVD, and a load of old tut.
A load of old tut.
I don't know exactly. The picture just showed like one of these exploding boxes full of stuff coming out of it. Probably an art book that I've already got the art in, another art book. having bought a Tiger and Bunny art book. Tiger and Bunny.
Is that just the first half of the series as well? Or is it?
Well, I think it's not even the first half. I think it's like the first quarter, possibly.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't realise that when I ordered it, because I think it just said part one without any pictures or anything.
Mm. And you would just assume it's the first half?
Yeah, it looks like there's three pamphlets, possibly like comic style. Exciting hero magazine called Monthly Hero, apparently.
Mm.
And then there's some trading cards as well, by the looks of this picture. You can get Tiger, Barnaby Brooks Jr. and Blue Rose.
Mm. Yeah, it's a pretty damn good show. So if you've not seen it, you might as well buy it. Quite simply. And I think everyone's seen it now.
Yes.
Like, even people who wouldn't expect.
On DVD, and it ran. Or did it run in America? I'm sure it ran on one of the streaming things in America as well.
It's pretty popular.
And yeah, and we've seen the movie as well.
Woo!
Because we're amazing. We like to get out and watch movies. Mm. And that's your lot. That's all there is.
That's a good batch for this week, though.
I can definitely see myself buying Space Pirates down the line as well.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good bunch.
And on to our weekly retro recap.
Ooh.
Which is one I picked this time after Please Twins. Did not please us. They just
pleased me. The first episode pleased us. Well, ish.
Yes, ish. It wasn't offensive, so yeah. It didn't drive us away. But I think I'm going to have to set my standards higher than that after the second episode of that. But anyway, Air Master, episode one. Oh, blimey, losing my voice.
Getting hyped. Yeah, go ahead, sorry, Brian.
Yeah, so basically it's the story of a teenage girl called Maki Aikawa. And in this episode, she meets some new friends. Oh, and my mobile phone's interfering with the microphone, so I'm going to hurl that across the room again. Even realize
like last time.
Yes. There we go. She meets some new friends, some of who go to her school, one who doesn't in this episode. Helps one of them get some toys out of one of those UFO catcher machines. In fact, pretty much all the toys out of the UFO catcher machine.
So I bet she's good.
Yeah. They then get harassed by a couple of guys who have apparently come from Tokyo. I can't really tell why, because in America, you can get a stream of this, and I think you maybe even buy it on Amazon Prime. In the UK, you can't. So I'm making do with some very old, slightly dodgy fan subs. I don't know how you...
The one I had was... I don't know which group, I'll just have a look. Anime One, I think they were called.
They were a very dodgy fan sub back in the day.
Yeah.
So I couldn't really tell from the fansubs exactly what these two guys were doing. But one of them had a UFO catcher rabbit sticking out the collar of his jumper.
It's a good look.
Yeah, so they started picking on them because one of the girls, Mina.
I can't remember. I'm saying yet. Like, I know
the one with the enormous breasts.
Mm. That's all you need.
They start harassing her. So one of the friends... There's two friends who I can't remember at all because they really don't do much.
And that's the one that fights.
Chiru. Oh, no, it's you. I'm looking at your Wikipedia. It's you who's taken karate lessons. But she gets beaten up by one of them, and then Maki steps in and kicks them in the head.
And Renge is Niall's favourite character, isn't it?
He was not pleased, Ryan. Said that I'd done that post about anime's greatest characters.
She's not that annoying.
She's not. No, I like her a lot. She's one of my favourite characters in this show.
She's alright.
But she's very short. And despite appearances, she is the same age as all the others. I assume they're like 15, 16. Because I think they say the first year at high school.
High school, yeah.
And then after she's beaten them up, she gets challenged by this masked
lucha.
Who happens to be wandering around Tokyo. Looking for her because he believes that she is the street fighter known as Air Master,
which is true.
And then the rest of the episode is them having a fight,
and it's weird fighting. It's more flying.
It is. They go into an alleyway and sort of bounce off sides of walls to beat each other up.
And I've seen that before. I've seen this episode before, and on a lot of AMVs as well. That fight. So.
Yeah, it's a pretty good fight.
It is, it's good, it's good. But I can't help but think it's so lukewarm. Is there a story that's gonna, like, you know, come out of nowhere or not? Be one episode, but.
Well, yeah, it's one of those episodes where the very first scene you see is a scene from the very last episode.
Is that what that is? Ah, right, okay. And there's 27 episodes.
There is, yeah.
But I liked it. I did like it. I liked it when I first seen it, but it's something I've never watched any more of. But I'd be willing to watch number two.
Okay, I'm definitely willing to watch number two. It's been a long... I don't think I've really rewatched it since it first was airing. Watched individual episodes in order to find clips for panels and stuff. But
I love the ending theme as well.
Yes, by Maximum the Hormone. It is. I think that was the first time I came across them.
It is good. It is good. Aye.
The animation in the ending animation is great as well.
I've just got people running.
Just them running, yes. Mm. But Renge's run is great.
Like a ballet skip, I don't know if that's got a proper name.
With a ridiculous grin on her face and her arms going all sort of wobbly, noodly.
But it's a good show, but I just hope the fights kind of stick with the same kind of punch that the first one has.
Yeah, that is always a danger, that you you come in strong on a first episode and then get let down.
And does it keep it up? Or...
I don't know, but we're going to find out next week if you want to.
True. That's very true.
So, yeah, next week, episode two of this.
Yes. Maybe episode three the following week, depending on how good it stays or good it gets, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Right, on to the topic.
Ooh.
Magical Girl Blitz, as I've called this episode.
Good name. Because I did blitz through them.
You did blitz through them. All of them hung over?
Yeah. And okay, I think it's probably the best hangover cure I've had in a long time.
Well, it's like getting a load of sugar into you, at least.
Mm. And hearts.
Yeah, some of them sugary, more sugary than others, but we shall get to that. So first up on the block from 2011, episode 1 of Jewel Pet Sunshine, directed by Takayuki Inagaki, who also did Rosario plus Vampire, which I suppose is slightly similar in that it involves a school full of monsters, and written by Yuko Kakihara, who is currently writing, Chihaya Furu 2, which I think is that popular program that I've never seen any of.
No, same.
And it has Ayaka Saito as Ruby and Rei Matsuzaki as Canon. And
who are those two? What have they done?
The Ruby is... I haven't got anything down of what they've done.
Oh, right.
But you know who the characters are. We'll get to who the characters are. And it's based on the toys created by Sammy Sega and Sanrio.
And I remember when this came out. And didn't you watch this when this first came out?
No, I watched it. I went back and watched... I think I watched the first episode of the sequel to this. This is the third Jewel Pet series.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Of which I don't think there's any continuity beyond maintaining for the voice actors for the various Jewel Pets. When the next one came out, which is... Hang on, what is that one... Twinkle.
Is that the one from this year?
Yeah, that's the second one. So the one which is currently running is Jewel Pet Kira Deco. Oh. And that's the one where a bunch of Sentai superheroes land on the Jewel Pet's planet in the first episode.
Well, I'm going to say this caught me off guard. I quite enjoyed it. And it's pretty funny. And I'd say, why would you call this... I can understand how it's kind of a girly and magical girl show-ish, but this is not what I would maybe classify.
Because the first two are straight ahead, but they have magical girls in them.
Mm.
Whereas this one just has the mascot characters.
Yeah, yeah.
One of which is the main character.
Which is Ruby, I presume.
Yes, and she also does like the role that a magical girl would do. Yeah. She gets like a transformation-type sequence and casts spells to help her friends out.
But no, I genuinely like this. I don't know whether I would watch more, just because you know, it's pretty cutesy, but it was cracking me up. I was sat laughing away. But basically, they're in the school, and there's a new teacher starting the school, and they're basically, Ruby, the little rabbit one, who's very cute, sets up, like, a trap, and I was just laughing. And then the teacher isn't a teacher, it's more of a dolphin. In fact, it is a dolphin. It's not more of, it just is. And it's just really funny.
And he's a pink dolphin with huge eyebrows as well.
And a tie.
Yes.
I don't know whether a tie is a tie or like a pattern, like a colouring of his body. I don't even know, but I would like to think it is a real tie that he wears.
Yeah, and the class isn't just of like cute animals. It is also of humans, and there's a robot in there as well.
Crocodile thing.
There's a crocodile man. there's a goat who is just a goat.
Yeah. And it's just very weird. I don't know. It's not the strangest of the bunch, but I don't know. I never knew what I expected by it. And as I say, I was expecting more Magical Girl than what it was, which was a drawn little thing.
I think it has deliberately drifted from that concept and is straight ahead comedy.
Yeah, and it is genuinely funny considering it's these girly creatures that are just, you know, they've all got their own little personalities, little quirks and stuff, and there's an alpaca one, which is a funny one.
Yeah, and there's one who can't say any word but love.
Mm-hmm.
and they're all, apparently this is their final year in school, so I assume that makes them all 17 and 18.
And Ruby's a great character.
Yeah, she is.
She's very, very good. And I just don't get why they turn into a stone and have no, like, mobility.
I believe that's what the toys do, so.
See, it's a weird thing to employ into a show, because when they transform, they do, like, a little bit of magic, and then they stay as this jewel.
Yeah.
For however long. Once,
yeah, after they cast a spell, they end up getting turned into a jewel. it is a really mad thing. So, yeah, the first stories about the dolphin coming along, and they think he's got a year to live.
And it's actually just a computer system.
Yes.
It was on its way out. Oh, the head teacher's a big dragon.
That's true, yes.
Does he sit on top of the school?
He does, yes.
I thought that was him, yeah.
And every character, no matter what they are, they all sort of consider themselves perfectly equal. So you've got, the dolphin's got a crush on the other third year teacher, who's a human being. At the end of the second episode, Ruby's got a crush on one of the human boys in her class, and apparently has a boyfriend in the past, but I don't know what sort of creature that particular boyfriend is that they mention.
Equality.
Yeah, and there's a cat's eye parody in the second episode as well, where three of the characters are in cunning disguises, which don't work for a second.
I don't get the whole history behind that thing with a thief and a towel wrapped under the nose. What's the origin of that?
I don't know. I was trying to find it out for when it came upon Roman as well. Apparently that is just like a traditional thief's mask. But yeah, where it actually arose from, I don't know.
Because it doesn't really disguise you at all.
No. I just wonder whether it's like theatrical more than practical.
Possibly, yeah. I might try and disguise myself in it one day. It'd make a good Twitter picture, I think, me with it.
And I think, looking on the Japanese Wikipedia page, I think apparently there's loads of dense background written jokes throughout the show. Mm. So if you knew Japanese, you'd be able to spot all those.
Oh, nice.
Because in the first episode, they graffiti up the entire classroom, so I assume there's loads of jokes in there.
Mm. Oh, that's good, because they've all got, like, I don't know what you just like describe it as, like, naughty children outfits, if that makes sense. And
yeah, because they decide that he's in order to make him feel good, they're going to behave like delinquents so he can bring them round to well-behaving children in his final year. So they really go overboard, and then the real delinquent children get annoyed that they're pretending to be delinquents.
And that's one of the crocodiles. Whenever I see him, it's just ridiculous.
It's a human girl, a crocodile, and a bee. Delinquent
It's really good. I have to say, I don't know why I wouldn't want to watch more, because I enjoyed it that much. But I don't know. I just...
Oh, the other thing I liked was because... when she cast the spell in the first episode to try and give the dolphin teacher more life, it just resulted in the character in the computer role-playing game he was playing.
get the hell find him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good one to break me in.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
In gently.
Because it's barely a magical girl. Mm. I mean, people would argue it's not. But it comes from a franchise which started as a magical girl show.
Ah,
so.
Right. Will you be buying the toys after?
I don't think so.
Can you see, are the toys like big in Japan or anywhere?
I've no idea. I only know it through it existing as an anime. But I did not look into that.
Yeah, I doubt I'll be buying them either.
So the next one I got you to watch was the first episode of Pretty Cure from 2004.
Which I've heard so much about this. Everyone says the word, the name Pretty Cure.
That's because there's been Pretty Cure series running since 2004.
Maybe that's it then. Maybe that's
it. It is directed by Daisuke Nishio, who directed Dragon Ball and also Air Master.
Ooh.
And it is written by Ryo Kawasaki. At least that's the name attached. Mm. Because I can't find much else that they've done. So, entirely possible it might be a pseudonym. Or might be one of these person who is actually a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And stars Yuko Honna as Nagisa Misumi, or Cure Black. And she played Shizuku in Whisper of the Heart, the Ghibli film. Mm-hmm. And not all that much else. Yeah. And Yukana as Honoka Yukishiro, also known as Cure White, and she has played far, far too many things. Many, many, many. But she was recently Princess Shirahoshi in One Piece. The giant mermaid princess.
All right, okay, even I've seen a few of those bits, so.
So what do you think of Pretty Cure?
It was better than I thought it was going to be. I think it was because the villain looks like David Bowie in Labyrinth. So
he does a bit, yes.
And he looks very good, so.
He's kind of got a kabuki-type makeup hair thing going on.
But, I don't know, I was kind of indifferent in regard to this. It was, it was less girly than I expected it to be. Because I was expecting these to be purely aimed for girls, where Pretty Cure doesn't seem like it would be.
It's a superhero show, basically.
I don't like the little transformation mobile phone things.
Well, they're Bipple and Bepple.
Whatever they are. I just didn't like that. But it was alright. You know, I mean, I can't believe I liked it as much as I did. But, I probably won't watch anything Pretty Cure ever again. But it was all right. Not much to say about Pretty Cure.
It's it's very. I mean, it runs alongside whatever Sentai show is on at the time, and also whatever Kamen Rider show.
I do like the transformation sequence in this, where it's like a, I don't know how you describe it. Really, it's like they're all metallic looking, and they get these little pings on the body, and then it turns into like a stocking or a boot, or whatever. Yeah, it was all right. But I don't get why there's been so many seasons of it. But then again, people like magical girls.
They do. I think it's the superhero thing.
Hmm.
In particular. I mean, the first series also sets it apart, is that they get a bit more physical than other magical girls do in fighting the bad guys.
Oh, so less magic and more hands-on kind of stuff.
Yeah. And the sort of attacks they do are more in line with, say, a shonen show. Because even the magic attack they do in this is blasting the bad guy with two streams of lightning bolts.
One black and one white.
Yeah, but it's very much like your tokusatsu shows, in that you've got themed monsters each episode as well. So we've got a rollercoaster monster in this episode, and the preview shows that there's a vacuum cleaner monster.
See, that's the roller coaster one's scary on so many levels. Like, roller coasters are generally scary, so. But I didn't know what they were going to do with it at first, because I thought he was going to remain on the tracks and somehow chase them. And then it turns into a big... What's the creature called? Zena or something?
I can't...
He keeps saying his own name. I can't remember now.
I don't know that they... When they defeat it, the little stars that they burst into apologise when they walk off.
I'll tell you what they reminded me. Do you remember them sweets? The little chocolate star sweets used to be.
I do, yes. Yeah.
And I just thought of them straight away. I was like, oh,
were they Milky Way stars?
I think they were. Like, I would love a bag right now.
Yeah, because they used to advertise them with them having each different personality, like faces on, didn't
they? Yeah.
The other thing which I can't ever find whether this is right or not, but it always struck me as like having a pro wrestling type influence. Because there's both the Cures and, to a degree, the bad, is it Pissard? Or I think that's the subtitle we had, was calling him that. Because they look a lot like the, well, not a lot's probably stretching it, but they're reminiscent in costume and sort of role of the wrestlers Cutie Suzuki and Miyuki Ozaki, I hope I got her first name right, who were a tag team in the early 90s, where one was very girly and sort of wore white, and the other one was tougher and wore black and red. And there's also another wrestler from around the same time, Akira Hokuto, who comes to the ring, or used to come to the ring, pretty much dressed how Pissard is dressed when he faces them.
Is that villain in this a long-running villain, or is he just gone?
I don't know. I've not seen more than this episode.
Oh, right. I did like him. He's very cool-looking, and the fact he looks like David Bowie in Labyrinth is great.
But yeah, she used to have the same, exact same eye makeup on that he does.
Oh.
In that sort of going down and defining the nose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I am curious as to whether that was intentional or just happy coincidence.
Well, yeah, I mean, to think this is 2004, it looks older.
Yeah, but we were watching a TV rip because...
Maybe, yeah.
I don't think... As far as I know, only in the West, it's only had a release in Germany on DVD. Somebody was asking this very question on Twitter the other day.
Oh, right.
And discovered that there was some DVDs out from Germany on Universal. But I think that's it. You can see it dubbed in the UK, maybe worldwide, but definitely in the UK, on the Pop Girl website, which is the girl equivalent of that channel Kix. That has Ultimate Muscle and Dragon Ball Kai on it. Yes, they've got a bunch of episodes on there if you wanted to watch it streamed and see the appalling theme music it has compared to the original.
Is this? Oh, I might have to check it out. What's the latest Pretty Cure called? Excuse me.
One which is about to start is Pretty Cure Doki Doki.
You know what? I'm going to watch it.
Okie doke.
I'm going to watch that show.
I'm not going to stop you.
Oh, good. But yeah, I mean, we're doing 2 for 2 at the moment. It's a good run so far. Out of this six, we're doing well.
Here we go. Go back to 1992. And the first episode of a little-known show called Sailor Moon, directed by Junichi Sato, who previously had done the show Goldfish Warning, which was a straight-ahead shoujo comedy.
Mm.
Based on the manga by Naoko Takeuchi. And it stars Kotono Mitsuishi as Sailor Moon and Usagi, which is the same person. And she is, known for that role. For a start.
Yeah,
she's also known as, for loads of other roles, but Misato in Evangelion is perhaps...
Oh, I didn't realise.
Because that was, when that was cast, it was like, oh, what are they doing casting Sailor Moon in that sort of role?
But that's pretty good.
And Keiko Han as Luna, the cat. And she played Athena in Saint Seiya. I wonder if that was a bit of stunt casting at the time, because that's kind of a similar role, I believe, in sort of being the patron to the superheroes.
Mm.
And this first episode involves Sailor Moon
getting her power
by Luna and getting her powers and fighting a monster. We didn't discuss what the episode of first episode of Pretty Cure was, but yeah, it was pretty much the same.
Yeah, yeah. People get powers, people kill things.
But they were discovered by weird aliens inside mobile phones.
I can't think of a more annoying mobile phone to have than those little things shouting at you.
Well, the one Keir White had seemed to be much better behaved than the
one. Oh, yeah, I mean, at least kept his mouth shut. And in regards to Sailor Moon, I remember this, obviously, you know, I forget, was it Fox Kids that used to always have this on? Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Possibly. Either way, I remember watching this back in the day, obviously when it was on over here. And I don't remember it looking as old as what it did. Unless this was a bad quality rip or something. But
really? What?
I don't remember this looking...
Looking, I mean, this looks better than the last two shows we talked about.
You think?
Yes.
This doesn't look as good as Jewel Pet.
It does. Go back and watch the scene where Luna's on the car roof even.
What, and, like the reflection on the...
Yeah. You tell me there's anything as good as that in those two other shows. There isn't.
I don't know. I'm very anti-Sailor Moon. I'll say that right now. I never liked it then. And I certainly don't like it now. I mean, no. I don't get what the hype is. People, like, because aren't they doing another Sailor Moon soon? A new
one? No idea.
I'm sure people were rabbiting on Facebook, people who love the original series. I just don't get it. It's not that good. It's not at all. I just don't like it.
This is so much better than those two shows.
I don't think it. I don't know. Maybe because it's more in-your-face magical girl show than the previous two shows, and maybe that's why I don't like it. But I just find Sailor Moon an annoying character. I like Luna. Not that he does that much, but, you know, I like Luna. I like the tuxedo guy. What's he
tuxedo
called?
Tuxedo mask.
I like him. But, I don't know. I don't like the look of the Sailor of the moon.
You don't like the fact that her crying was an effective attack.
It's just, I've never liked the look of the, do we call them the sailors?
They called them Sailor Senshi, did they?
I don't know. Why are they called?
Sailor Scouts, I think.
Sailor Scouts. You're right. I've never been big on them. And why are they called? They're not. That's not a sailor's outfit. Not a sailor. Sailors don't look like that. Sailors need tattoos of anchors and cigars and...
I think it's based on the school uniform, as was the style.
Yeah.
In those days.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not that bad, but it annoys me that people still really like this show. That's what it is. Because I think, go back and watch it and you'll probably change your mind.
And I don't think you go back and watch it and you'll complain that you get even more annoyed at Anthony for saying how bad it is.
I mean, how long did it run for?
Oh, a long time.
Exactly.
It was massive. It was...
Oh,
it
I know. It's huge, but...
It and Yu Yu Hakusho were the big shows at this time. Mm. And the creators got married.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. And when did the other moons start, the scouts start coming in?
I can't remember. I've only seen a few of the early episodes, and once more I saw them in a language I don't understand, which is neither English nor Japanese. I saw them in German.
Oof. What are they called? Like, obviously there's Sailor Moon, Sailor Jupiter, Sailor Mars, Sailor Uranus. Is there a Sailor Uranus?
I think so later on, yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
The main ones are Moon, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Venus.
All right. Do you have a favourite? Is it possible to have a favourite of this bunch?
I've not seen enough to...
Like, I've seen it higgledy-piggledy around when I was younger. Because I can't remember. It must have ran after or before something that I liked. So, I'm sure it was on... Maybe mightn't have been Fox Kids. Was it ever on terrestrial TV, BBC or anything?
I don't know. This is a case where it's after my time.
Ah, right, okay.
So, a lot of that satellite stuff in the 2000s I don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
And anything sort of after SMTV I probably don't know about on terrestrial either.
Yeah.
Unless it aired first thing in the morning, like a Pokemon or a Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh yes, I do like them.
So you didn't like the comedy in it at all? Like,
what comedy? I can't even
remember. Well, I think, like, Usagi's mum getting annoyed and locking her out of the house.
I mean, it's acceptable. I'm not gonna say I was in stitches. I don't know. I mean, what was with all... I know I can respect a fan group to do, like, translation notes and stuff, but what was with all the notation
for this? That was horrible. Yeah, it's like, it wasn't even necessary. It's like, surely this is going to be explained during the storyline.
Well, for a second, I thought this series of Sailor Moon was, like, a sequel or, something like that, but, I mean, Jesus, let me learn what happens instead of...
that was pretty bad.
And I didn't even care to read, I'll be honest. I tried, but there was just...
Yeah, it wasn't worth it.
No. It doesn't influence, like, the show at all, obviously. That's unfair to base my opinion from that, but... I mean, I don't know, the comedy, it's... Yeah, I just don't like Sailor Moon. I like the character. I think she is what I dislike. I don't like her hair.
Yeah, I can see that. She is a crybaby.
Yeah. But I like the tuxedo mask.
I think that's supposed to be funny, but yeah, if you're not finding that funny, then... you may find her annoying. I did notice for Ivan, if Ivan is listening, there is a Goo Goo Ganmo plushie on Usagi's bed in episode one. That's one of his favourite shows.
Oh.
About a giant chicken.
Was Sailor Moon out around the same time as Cardcaptors?
No.
Oh.
Cardcaptors is late 90s.
Ah, right. Because I did like a bit of Cardcaptors. Which is very surprising. Brian's wincing. Wincy.
No, so I like Cardcaptors as well. That's probably the Magical Girl show I've seen the most of at cons.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think I've seen some of the dodgy dub.
Yeah.
Because that did air on ITV.
Mm, yeah, I remember.
And, yeah, I think you start seeing Sailor Moon imitators sort of 93, particularly 94. There's a couple I've got for the Golden Anniversary blog. That I'm probably going to cover. Because one's a really weird one where they're adapting a manga which didn't have a magical girl in it to anime, but because Sailor Moon was so popular, the anime version does have, like, well, no, it had a magical girl in it, but she didn't make a transformation at all. But because Sailor Moon was popular, she gets to transform into some sort of older fantasy fighting version of herself. I think that's probably the best evidence of sort of how popular Sailor Moon was, is that people are going out their way to change things in order to make them more like Sailor Moon.
And you can always guarantee to see some cosplayers. Always. There's always Sailor Moon cosplayers.
They are still, yes. But yeah, without Sailor Moon, I don't think you'd have had... Well, I'm definitely sure you wouldn't have had Pretty Cure, and Pretty Cure wouldn't be in that form. It wouldn't be in that form of Monster of the Week, sort of very much in the same... style of a like a Power Rangers show or a Kamen Rider show, because the monster in this one is themed around a jewelry store where the jewels are draining people's energy, which is a plot which I believe is also the first monster in Kamen Rider O's is exactly the same thing. The monster is the owner of a jewelry store and she's draining the energy.
Tell you what, the monster in this is pretty scary.
Yeah, yeah. That's another thing where I said the animation was pretty good. Is that bit where the monster turns her head.
Yeah, I was like, this is a kid's show. Take it easy.
Yeah, that's why I think it's good.
Oh, come on. I bet they don't have this scary every week.
Let's get to a less scary magical girl in 1983.
You sure it's less scary? I'm not so sure. This is a...
that's true.
This is a journey.
There's a creepy alien in it. For sure.
I just want to say early on, for a second, I thought this was like the time code was messed up on VLC player, because I'm sure this is longer than 20 minutes. Not in a negative way, I just feel like there's so much going on in this show, in this episode.
Yeah, it is Creamy Mary, the Magic Angel from 1983, director Osamu Kobayashi. The older one, not the younger one, the one who did Kimagure Orange Road. Writer Kazunori Ito, who worked on Urusei Yatsura, Pat Labor, Dot Hack, character designer Akimi Takada, who worked on Urusei Yatsura and Pat Labor. And I think he used to be married to Kazunori Ito.
Hmm.
Or they were released together. And then once they split up, his work was not as good. And Takako Ota as Yu and Mami. And she was basically an idol singer who the show was designed to promote.
Oh, right.
So she's not done any real sort of many other animation voices after this.
Mm.
And Toshio, played by Yu Mizushima. I didn't have anything notable to put against him. And this is a show, this is the first Studio Pierrot Magical Girl show. And the difference here is that it's sort of about wish fulfillment. So you have a young girl who has some sort of magical means to become an older girl and then sort of get to be an adult almost.
This was so strange. No, I'm not even going to go into the, I just mean like the way it's, like the formula that it follows. Because she doesn't transform really till the end.
No.
And she doesn't even do anything once she's transformed.
No, she's just getting the magic ability and then learning how to use it.
Yeah, so I don't know, to see it done like that seems weird, because I would imagine they'd want to get the transformation in early on and have them shown off the magic as best as they can.
So. Well, yeah, it's more, in this case, it's more to become a pop star. Rather.
Is that actually what it leads to?
Yes.
No. What a shame. What a shame.
But she can only have a pop career for a year, because that's the other thing, is she's only been given these magic powers for a year. By a creepy little alien who lives in a dream traveling spaceship.
Which is unbelievable. This is something else. I like the look of the character, with that like hoodie and stuff. So that reminded us of something from Dragon Ball or something like that. But, I really liked this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, she has got a bit of a Raleigh-chan to her.
Yeah, yeah. The hair kind of looks similar and stuff like that, but I think the bits that I liked were as little as Magical Girl as it possibly could be with the whole dream stuff and,
Getting into the spaceship.
That is
just one long excuse to be extremely trippy.
It's really weird. It's really, really weird. But it all starts because she sees something flying through the sky. She chases after it. And there, they get the ship. And it's like a big arc. Would you say it's an arc or a space pirate boat?
Kind of like a, it's sort of cross between an arc and
a galleon kind of.
Galley. Well, like a galley. So it's got loads of, oars coming out the side of it. It has not got udders coming out of it.
It's a wonder. After seeing maybe.
If it was dual pet, I can imagine that being the case. But not in this case.
And for a lot of the episode, I didn't know what was going on. I really didn't. And I don't get how that scooter she rides works.
No, I wrote down weird one-wheeled scooter that her dad, steals from her dad. Yeah, it's like the front end of a scooter, but not the back end.
It must be so dangerous.
She's right. Well, that's why the police, they send so many police after. My favourite bit is the policeman chasing after her and gets on the wrong moped, and so he has to make his own siren.
It's brilliant, yeah. Oh, it is funny. Like, when she's on the scooter and, like, her friends or these two guys are chasing her as well, and one of them just flips over a car. Like, it's nothing. And it's good. It's really, really good. And then they get this ship and she goes up to the ship and I don't even know. I don't even know from there. Like, it is a thing that you've got to see for yourself to understand.
Yeah, there's two space cats who get left behind with her.
I'm still not too sure what happened in it all. Because does it actually say that she's aiming for this pop career?
No, not yet, no. It's,
okay.
I think that starts moving in the second one.
Oh.
And I assume the creamy part comes from the name of her parents' crepe business, which is called the Creamy Crepe.
See, I didn't even know what they were selling. I just seen...
It was written in English on their van.
It's not.
It was, yeah.
I'm sure it's just got creamy written on it, surely.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm sure, yeah, it says creamy in English at least. But they definitely mention crepes in there.
Ah, right. Her dad's pretty funny. But I really liked it. I don't feel I will need to watch any more because it's going to go into magical girl territory and pop idol territory. No thank you. But for a first episode, I mean, it's... I can't imagine them ever living up to it. The dream sequence is just unbelievable.
Yeah, if you've seen sort of the dream sequences in early Yurusai Asuras, is akin to that, but I think they've got a bigger budget.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's loads of naked fairies and dragons. And
oh yeah, I forgot they were naked. I mean...
I wrote down here, hey 80s, knock it off with the panty shots, because there are a little too many panty shots of this 10-year-old girl in this cartoon. Mm.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Mm. I mean, yeah, it's like a choice. Animation is a choice, so it's there. You had the choice not to put those panty shots in. I mean, there's also panty shots in Air Master, but they kind of make it work because it's always part of some sort of movement where, as in this, not quite so much. Seems a bit gratuitous.
Mm.
Which combined with the creepy alien man telling this 10-year-old girl to keep this a secret from everybody.
Well, at least she can see it as well.
Yeah, that's not explained either, is it?
No, it's...
He'd lost his spaceship, apparently.
That's weird. It's very weird. But it was very good.
It's very good. Those disclaimers aside, it is still a very good and very well-made show. Mm. From this first episode, at least.
Yeah, I don't think the rest would be as good. I really can't imagine it living up to it, because there'd be no more need for a dream sequence. Well, you never know, actually.
You never know.
Every episode, which would be great.
Yeah, it's all very... It's no sort of villains, no violence.
Nah.
All very... Well, apart from that dragon getting a sword stuck in its belly.
Oh, yeah. Pretty brutal. Can you remember the little rhyme she's got to say to transform?
I can't remember, no.
No, me neither.
Well, to be fair, the characters in the show had trouble as well. Because these two cats are left to look after her with these magical powers. They don't know how to use the magic powers either.
But yeah, I like this one. Yeah, decent stuff.
Right, let's go back to
there's a home phone, there's a bat phone. I'll let somebody else get it.
Okay, let's go back to the 70s, 1974. Mm. And it is Meg the Witch Girl, or Magico Meg-chan. Director of this episode, at least, Toshiyasu Okada, with Ryoko Yoshida as Meg. She also played Michiru Sayatomi in Get a Rover. That's the scientist's daughter, an occasional co-pilot. And Noriko Tsukasi as her rival, Non.
Hmm.
Is that you or?
Yeah, that was the phone, just went, did okay. Something there. I've chucked it away, I've thrown it across the room, like Brian.
And I put a post on the Tumblr today, ooh, so you want to look back in a week and see this when you hear this podcast, called, which I've called Meg the Witch Girl Carnage. Just 10 images of various acts of violence and carnage happening in the show. And you're only allowed 10 images in one post on Tumblr. 10 images was nothing.
Oh, really?
But what did you think of this extremely violent magical girl show?
What the? Violent?
Violent. I've made a list of all the things which happened in this show.
Well, do you know something? I absolutely loved this, and I'm not even kidding. This was the best of the bunch. Sorry to spoil it for the last one, but this was so damn good. I'm not even joking. For a second, I didn't know what was going on. But I really, really liked it. The best bits were all the kind of creepy father stuff. Like, in a nutshell, I mean, you do the plot, Bear Brian.
Okay, yeah. So basically, Meg is a candidate to be the next queen of the witch world. Which is where she comes from. Mm. So she's been sent to Earth. And why isn't quite clear. It almost seems like she's been sent to Earth to learn how to hate humans. friends.
Yeah.
She's been sent to stay with a witch who got married on Earth to a human being. And she's going to pretend to be her daughter.
Yeah.
And so they cast a spell, and then she refuses to... She's okay with calling this witch her mother, but she isn't okay with calling
the human
her father. Also, this husband and wife couple have raised the two most appalling children of their own.
Unbelievable. They are so bloody naughty.
They are, yes, they are real terrors. And so she runs away from home and runs into her rival Non. They have a magic fight. She almost drowns, almost dies, comes round, and then she finally calls her father father. In between all this, there is a lot of violence.
You don't make it. You're underselling this. I'm not even joking. The relationship building between her and the family is fantastic. But the violence is pretty brutal the more I think about it, actually.
Yeah. But, we first meet Meg flying through the sky, and she... Does she fall? I can't remember how... But she crashes through a plane. Then crashes onto... When she lands on the ground, she causes multiple car pile-ups by landing on the policeman who is doing traffic direction. And this is the typical cartoon sense. So if you're a policeman in a cartoon and somehow you're suddenly blindfolded, you'll carry on directing cars willy-nilly. So I'll carry on going through the violence. So she, a slightly minor piece of violence is she, her will-be brother, catapults, like, ball bearings at her.
Oh, it looks so bloody painful.
Into her bottom. And then leads her to what he says is their home, because she's looking for the family name, which is actually a barn where a bull is inside. She gets hit by a bull and thrown into a pond. When she finally gets to the right house, she gets hit in the head of a baseball bat by what will be her little sister. Then finally they get all that settled, and she goes to her room. She's being spied on by, what's the guy's name? Cho-San, yeah. Who's the agent of the Witch Queen being sent to spy on Meg.
He's like a character from like Enmercon or something.
Yes. I don't know what the connection... I think lots of people who worked on Cutie Honey worked on this. Apparently later on Cutie Honey shows up in a cameo. And it's got the same woman doing the theme tune, who did the theme tune to Cutie Honey. Mm. So while he's watching, he falls through the roof of the building he's sat on. And then gets goaded by the Siamese cat he works with. And a crow. Okay, what else happened? Well, yeah.
Don't forget how perverse the show is.
Oh, yes.
It's so incredibly perverted. Her little brother is obviously the biggest shit on the planet.
Yes.
And he's a complete pervert.
Goes into a bedroom and pulls a duvet off her. And then he gets hit in the head with a stick for that his manners. Then when he complains that he didn't get to see everything, his little sister hits him in the head with a hammer.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's weird. It's surreal.
When it all comes to a head about not saying her, calling her father father, she puts pepper in her father's tea. And then...
The little brother must have put a frog.
Oh, he puts a frog in a teacup, yes. So, and she slaps the little girl off her chair.
Oh, God.
Repeatedly slaps her brother around the face. Then grabs him by his throat and throws him through a glass cabinet.
And this is, it's like something from like a foreign film. You know these foreign films where it's like ultra violence for nearly nothing. It's so weird. It's so surreal at this point. And then she gets slapped by her father, which is the best slap I've seen in a long time. I even called my mum in to see this slap. She rolled her eyes and walked out. But the slap is unbelievably brutal.
Then there's the magic fight where she gets thrown in the water. I think the little brother gets hit in the head with a hammer again.
Yeah.
And after everything's settled, they end up chasing each other around, run back in the house. They headbutt the mum through a table. And then Egg picks a vase up to throw at the brother. and then he ducks and hits the mum in the head with a vase.
And it's really, really good. Like, I'm not even kidding. This is by far my favourite of the bunch. She pretty much dies as well. She drowns, yeah. And she does get brought back, but it's all pretty dramatic. It's pretty, pretty dramatic. And it's nice when she finally calls her father, father. It's a nice moment. But I really, really liked it.
Yeah, it's also kind of disturbing how the mum magics the rest of the family into thinking that they're the door. They're in the middle of having dinner. And she teleports them to the airport, still with the knives and forks in their hands. And then all of a sudden they're seeing their eldest daughter walk off the plane, which is AMPTS Air, which I thought originally said armpits air, hair. Which may be a terrible joke, or it may have just been a happy coincidence.
It's pretty dark, considering, you know, it's a magical girl show, and...
Or it is just the 70s.
Possibly, where everything's acceptable. I want to see more of this, and I'm going to... Is it available the rest of the
I don't think so, no. I think this is one of those ARR fan subs where they just did the first episode.
I would genuinely like to see more of this. If it stays as dark and as surreal and as what it is, I mean, it's great. There's nothing not... Like, did you like this?
I liked it as well. I liked it more for, like, what the hell am I watching? Why? I cannot believe... The point at which I was, like, hooked by it is the bit where she picks her brother up by the throat and hurls him through a glass cabinet.
Like, it wasn't enough just to throw him... The way he goes through the cabinet and... I mean, she just goes haywire.
Yeah, because Sailor Moon's got an annoying brother as well, and so's Cure Black in Pretty Cure, but they just have to deal with it. Whereas Meg really deals with it. But even that doesn't stop it being annoying.
And then at the end, they just still play along. Like, nothing happened.
From looking on in the Wikipedia, apparently the Cho-san's actually working for the real villain of the show.
Oh.
And eventually, Non sort of will eventually sort of become a friend slash rival.
Who's that? Who?
That's the
blue-haired witch who she
fights. Yes, yeah, yeah. The one who apparently joins the same school she does, but looking exactly pale-faced and blue-haired.
Yeah, without honestly, I cannot stress how much like I want to rewatch it. Like all the tension, the build-up of this dysfunctional family.
Yeah, there's lots of close-ups on the dad's face, as if to say, I can't believe my daughter's not calling me dad.
It'd make a great film. Like this big film, maybe not the witch aspect, but it's just drama at its finest. I'm not even kidding, it's really good. Really damn good.
And yeah, despite living with humans and sort of keeping her witchy nature under a hat, the mum still has designed the house to look like a witch's hat.
Do you know something? I didn't pick up on that. I'm not even kidding.
Either that was a happy coincidence, they just... found a house which looked like a hat. Mm. Anyway, the final show we're going to talk about, let's go all the way back to 1966, so the very first Magical Girl anime.
This was the first?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
So the first episode of the first, it wasn't the first manga, but it was the first Magical Girl anime. And that is Sally the Witch. This one has a screenplay by Jiro Yoshino. Animation director and character designer of the entire series was Yoshiyuki Hanae, based on the manga by Mitsuteru Yokoyama, who also did Giant Robo and all the other shows which are in the Giant Robo AV. Mm. With Michiko Harai as Sally, Midori Kato as Yoshiko, she's better known as the voice of Sazae-san in Sazae-san.
Mm.
So she has performed in the longest running most popular anime in the main character role, and Miriko Makai as Sumire, and she was the dub voice for Marilyn Monroe films.
Oh.
Was also Midori Yamabuki later, much later on in Dr. Slump, presumably because she was Marilyn Monroe, because she's the blonde character. Yeah, so in this, Sally the Witch is bored, so decides to go to the human world and make some friends. while making some friends, she runs across two burglars who are robbing a department store and teaches them a lesson through the power of magic. And also the help of her assistant cub, who is a slightly sadistic, terrible shape changer.
Mm.
So, what do you think of this?
Well, I was kind of taken aback by the fact it was black and white.
Like, yeah, later on, it's
bizarre.
But the early episodes are black and white.
Like, surely at that point in time, they had colour animation. I don't get why they would forget the colour. Not bother. Obviously not forget as such, but...
There's still lots of black and white BBC, British shows around though. Mm. It's like, they might have been able to do it, but if lots of people hadn't got colour TVs yet, why bother?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not using that as a criticism. I like this whole magical girl witch aspect. It's like a cooler version of a magical girl. Not this,
well,
like...
It is the original version of a magical
girl. Yeah, so, I mean, I like that better than these, like, really feminine dress wearing annoying magical girls, whereas this is like, you know, witches are kind of badass. But,
Did you notice the sort of similarities to Bewitched? Because that's the source of it, the American TV show.
Oh, right. I guess so, with all these, like, kind of strange going-ons in this normal world.
Yeah, and Sally does, instead of wiggling her nose to cast spells, winks. She winks.
Mm.
Often directly at the camera.
the weirdest thing about it all is the ugly friend.
Oh, Yoshiko. She's great.
She's a good character, but at first I thought she was a male. I thought she... Ah, it's not a female character, surely. I mean, it was all right, this. It's quite amusing. There's some nice bits of comedy and stuff, and... I like when they're getting the burglars and all the toys in the shop are like... Like little tanks are shooting stuff at them, and that bit's nice. But, it was kind of just... It was all right. It was all right. Not the best.
I liked it more than I was expecting. Because I think I'd watched a later episode of it, which I wasn't so keen on.
Mm-hmm.
But, I quite enjoyed this one.
I mean, it does a lot. It manages to do a lot, and has some nice humour, especially when she's building the house and the cat's laughing at her and stuff. And
yes. There's some kind of... You can see more Western influence in that, particularly that cat, the way that cat moves. And also the cat and the mouse in the opening credits are very Tom and Jerry. Mm. What else do I like? Oh, I like the fact that her dad appears to be Satan.
Oh, God, yeah, he's a badass dude, to say the least. He does not take no for an answer. God, he's good. But, was it very popular, this show? I guess so, if it was the first magical game.
Yeah, it was a remake in 1989 as well.
Ah.
The thing which really surprised me is, and this genuinely is total happy coincidence, did you think that the burglars could have pretty much been played by Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern? Just like in Home Alone. They pretty much are physically the same shapes.
Yeah, and I can imagine them getting up to the same antics. This,
having trouble with children, thwarting their plans. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, what?
The only downside of these burglars is they're not wearing that thief hood that we discussed from earlier.
That is true. No,
that's why they didn't get away with it. They could have got away otherwise. But did they get put through the wars?
They do.
Like by the younger kid, Cub or whatever he's called.
Yeah.
Because like, Sally's like, you know, take it easy on them. Because he's shooting rockets at them and pretty harsh. Then again, they are burglars and they do steal things, which isn't nice. But this was good. It was all right. It was, considering the age of it. I mean, what did you say? It was 66 or?
Yeah, 66.
66. Damn, that is old.
Yeah, there's some pretty good animation. There's definitely, you can see some where they're cutting corners. There's a few sort of start of scenes where a character just slides into the scene. But at the same time, that does make, there's one scene where they do like a really super fast pan cut, where it's almost as if they've just pulled the cell and background, which actually makes a nice effect.
Mm.
I was hoping they would do that more, but they only saw it the one time.
Oh.
in the episode. But yeah, I like I said, I enjoyed it a lot more than I was expecting to.
Yeah, it could have been far more girly. Because I don't think this would have been particularly aimed at just girls.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting it to be girly. That wouldn't be my problem. I was just expecting it might be a bit slow. That maybe the pace would be off. And I think particularly once it gets to the burglars, then it's definitely got the pace you'd expect.
Yeah, it does it well. It does a good job of what it's got. That's for certain.
And I quite like the Yoshiko character, just because she is kind of weird looking, but also... yeah, she's got like the typical tomboy type character, which works well. Yeah. I was kind of like, oh, I'd rather actually see a show about her as the main character than all the other ones. But presumably the second episode seems to have all her triplet brothers causing trouble, so...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that from the preview, yeah.
So, there you go. 6 magical girl shows that I've made Hans need to watch.
And it wasn't as hard as I thought. And it wasn't as bad as I thought. I found a gem in the Meg one. Meg Chan. I genuinely really liked that. And I think people should check it out. I mean, do you have a favourite of this bunch?
I'd say... as individual episodes, I really liked the first episode of Sailor Moon. The one I'm more likely to watch more episodes of would probably be Jewel Pet Sunshine.
Yeah, because that's...
just because it's such a mad thing.
Mm. Yeah, for me it's definitely the Meg Chan. Magical Meg Chan. So if you can find that, anyone, is it hard to find?
Like I said, I don't know. I found one episode of it. Mm. It may be easy to find in other languages, maybe.
Right.
It broadcast in a lot of Europe.
Hmm. It ran for 72 episodes.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. That is a lot. Bloody hell.
There was a surprising amount of Tumblr posts about it.
Oh, really?
They may all be coming from one person. I didn't really check that side of things. But someone seems to be going through it. But what language they're going through it in, I don't know.
There's lots of clips on YouTube from episodes. I'm just Googling it now, and there's... Yeah, I really like this, and I'm kind of pleased that I broke the barriers and stepped into this world of magical girls. And
you're making it sound like it was your choice.
Well, yeah, it wasn't at all. But no, I mean, in future, if you know, on the next year's like releases, if there's a magical girl show, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna allow myself to watch it.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think Pretty Cure Doki is about to start, possibly today.
Oh, there we go. Is that today as of recording or of
listening? Today as we're recording. Let me have a look.
Ah, good.
Let me have a look.
Is it Crunchyroll or?
I don't think so. I don't think that's made. I don't think any of those have made streaming yet.
Oh.
Except obviously the Canadian dub of the first series, and those Pop Girl streams are pretty low quality. Oh, sorry, February the 3rd. So it's actually when you're listening to this, it'll be the Sunday after this episode comes out.
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out and see how I feel. But yeah, 6 episodes, blitzed in one go. It was easy. Easy peasy. It was far much easier than the last blitz thing we did with all the mecha shows.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that
was exhausting. Wow. Wow.
Anyway, next episode should be the antithesis of this episode. If you can watch in girly shows, Anthony, next episode should be the manliest of all episodes, for we shall hopefully be recording an episode reviewing the Golgo 13 film.
Woohoo! Which one?
The first one.
No. To be fair, yeah, it's better than Queen Bee or whatever it was called.
Yeah, I'm not seeing Queen Bee.
Oh, yeah, I thought you would have been right into that.
Well, we can watch that another time.
Yeah.
But I don't have it. I have the first one.
Yeah, I've got it on DVD somewhere.
So we should hopefully be rounding up some guests to record that.
Multiple guests?
Yes, possibly too many guests.
Awesome.
Rightio. Anything you want to plug, Anthony?
Twitter is normal, which is AntAskew, A-N-T-A-S-K-E-W, and why not Tumblr? I'm going to start tumbling more. I'm going to get back in it. It's umlaut ampersand on Tumblr. If you can't spell it, just Google it. It'll probably find the right one.
Good, good. And yeah, I have continued to update awesome-engine.com, what I recently put up. Oh, another Magical Girl show, I do believe I discussed, which was going to be one of the ones I was going to make the option. This one may have proved too girly for me.
Which one was it?
It was Floral Magician Mary Bell.
Sounds dreadful.
That's from also from 1992. Quite unlike, but he didn't like Sailor Moon, so maybe you would have liked that one more, because it's not like Sailor Moon at all.
Good, good.
And what else have I been talking about? Excalibur comics from the 80s, where they tried to draw anime-style characters. And for those people who've been begging me to, I've started reviewing Eurosight Sewer episodes again. Your awesome bombardment of asking me why I stopped it when I'm going to start it again finally paid off.
How many did you get up to?
I got up to, well, I can't remember in the first run, because I picked it up again at some other point and then dropped it again. But the most recent one I've put up is Eurosight Sewer episode 139. Tom Obiki High School Survival. Who are the survivors? Which involves, it culminates in a man with a giant tomato mask and a chainsaw chasing a taro around the school.
Creepy.
It
are
is,
we going to do any of the other Eurosight Sewer movies this year?
Possibly, yes.
I think we should, because I do like. I do like.
Yeah, it. I think we may go back and do the first one, Only You. At some point in the coming year. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamitingthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamitingthebrain, and on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a view? God, my mouth's not working today. And write us a review so more people can find out about the jewel that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Aww. Nice cute episode.